on today. A lot of great texts today, by the way. Appreciate the interaction. And callers, too. We've been accused today of being too pessimistic. And we've been accused of being too optimistic today. So it is August, folks. We're
got you right where we want you.
Great show.
I know. On the, we were throwing out a lot of what ifs, you know, what if they're better here? What if they're better there? The inverse is also true. If you're not better fundamentally, if your quarterback is hot garbage, if your wide receivers don't block, if your staff isn't firing as one, then the floor might be too high. That is also on the table. So, right?
So what you're saying is
the Chad Morris experiment just goes horribly, horribly. You are, Tom Allen doesn't get the defense playing the way he wants them to play. Then last season is going to look like a good season.
I'm going to tell you what, if the Georgia Southern and North Carolina games don't look better, it can get sour in a hurry. Because that was the issue last year. You came off the LSU game. I mean, obviously, you come off the LSU game. The Troy first half is the worst thing I've ever seen until the Syracuse game.
And just to balance things out, Jeff says, you guys are way too much in the middle, too much fence sitting.
I mean, look. There's something for everybody on the show.
Thanks, Jeff. That's funny.
There's something for everybody in the show.
And Peanut says, then Dabo's not the head coach in 2027. Yeah.
If it goes horribly wrong, I mean, again, if they actually find that 7-5 is not the floor of the program, then there's going to be some hard questions. I think 7-5 was Clemson's 4-8, personally. When I say every program's got a 4-8, it just looks different every place. Some programs just 4-8. Some programs it's 0-12. But the point is, you're never that far from your floor as a program. I want to talk about a couple. Well, you know what? I want to revisit this because I want to get your thoughts before we get into Polo Anderson and Jaden Sellers. I want to talk about both of those guys. We did a poll on Friday. I thought it was fun. I enjoyed the conversation. It was about half the show on Friday we did, where we asked the question, if it's 4th-and-3 with the game on the line, who gets the ball? That poll is still up at theroarfm.com/polls. Roar Mobile app, click the poll tab. Brought to you by Ingles. Low prices, love the savings. The leading vote getter, it's been up since Friday, the leading vote getter is Bryant Wesco at 22%. That's the leading vote getter. He's got 22%. TJ Moore and Christian Bentancur are 19.8%. Gideon Davidson is 17.6%. This is among the most evenly dispersed voting polls that I can remember in the years of doing these on the station. Ben, you haven't gotten a chance to weigh in on this. The point of the conversation is that there are lots of options, but it feels like they need to find one or two things that they're just leaning on in this offense. So 4th-and-3, game on the line, with all of Chad Morris's weapons in front of him, who would be the first player you would think of to get the ball to?
I think Wesco's a popular pick for a reason. I get that. In a 4th-and-3 situation where I need somebody tough, might have to just like sit down in a route real quick, I might actually go TJ Moore. Now, I'm also working under the assumption TJ Moore is going to end up being your slot receiver. So those are good choices. Those are good. I would have to go that route. Also, that, you know, would Chad Morris draw me up something to make that happen? You would lean that way over your running game right now.
I think right now, yes. Until we know more about the run game and more about the offensive line. Because the reason I said fourth and three is because you could reasonably call a run play on fourth and three, especially if there's some sort of a read option element to it or a speed option element to it.
I'll tell you this. If you're calling a run game in fourth and three, fifth game of the season, then the first four games have gone well for you on the offensive line.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't want to have to get cute on fourth down every time.
Because, hey, in many seasons, fourth and one, you're still wanting to pass.
Well, even like last year, did you feel great about short yardage? I don't know what Clemson was in short yardage. I didn't feel like, again, the numbers might tell a difference. I didn't feel like Clemson was a great short yardage team last year.
They were not. I mentioned, thinking Chad Morris. Now, back in the day, Chad Morris would have told Taj Boyd to, do that patented run with your back to the defense.
Yes.
And just fall backwards. That's an element of Christopher Fasina. I don't know. I think that is a wait and see. Can he do that? He's a big kid. I mean, he's a big kid. That's an element of his game that, we've been told that he is a runner. We've not seen that. And that needs to be. That's a patented part of the Clemson offense for years and years and years, that the quarterback can run. We have not seen that from any quarterback on this roster. I mean, maybe outside of Pierman, actually.
You know what? You're right. I don't think we have.
Yeah.
I'm looking up some numbers on the run game. Do you know Clemson last year?
I'm not counting Chris Denson in that, by the way.
No. We can't.
That may be an option. Again, you're going to have to really trust your offensive line, though.
I said on Friday, what are your thoughts about Denson as your Wildcat quarterback with Johnson and Preston and Wesco on the field?
Horizontal, the only thing vertical. I don't like about those is that it's so obvious what you're about to do.
Unless you give it one time.
Yeah.
All you got to do, give it more times than Taj gave it. You got to give it one time. You got to get Preston on the jet or somebody. You got to give somebody else the ball at some point because you're right. Otherwise, he gets swarmed. Last year on fourth down, Clemson ran it 18 times for 8 yards and made 9 first downs. I want to say that's the second lowest percentage on fourth down. Let's see. Virginia Tech was 6 for 13. Syracuse 8 for 17. Believe it or not, Georgia Tech 2 for 5. Only 2 for 5 on fourth down running the ball. That's interesting. But among the worst is a point. Among the worst in the ACC. Go vote in that poll. Make your voice heard. Ben, there were injuries. Really, both in-state programs dealt with injury news this weekend. Polo Anderson, the safety from Dorman, out for the year for Clemson now. And you've got two receivers out at South Carolina. The biggest one is Jaden Sellers. You got the quarterback's brother, who is a huge safety valve, one of his favorite targets. Certainly one of the favorite the better returning receivers, goes out with what they called a lower body injury. That almost doesn't even tell me anything. I saw some South Carolina fans were upset on X that they're like, do we not get any more specific than lower body? There are so many things that could be. We have no idea what it is. But
if they're out for the season, though, it's something down there and he can't play. So
that's right.
I don't.
That's right. So you got – go ahead.
Well, I guess I'm going to say I don't really care what it is. If it's an Achilles, then that would make a difference. But those are ACLs, right?
I think so. I mean, that would be the easy guess. Jaden Sellers, Jaden Gibson, the two receivers. Sellers last year, I thought was really good. We actually talked about this during the break. I thought he's a good player and had a chance to really step up. 337 yards on 22 catches and 7 games played as a true freshman. We were, you know, it was widely reported during the offseason. I don't know if anybody ever said this outright, but that one of the reasons Lenore Sellers came back to South Carolina was to play with his brother. You hate that. So you've got the Sellers injury at South Carolina. You have the Polo Anderson injury at Clemson. And in both cases, this is what I heard from these fan bases. The fan bases were basically like, this again. We have the worst luck. Just one injury after another. Just can't go camp without injuries. And I started reading some of these, and I thought to myself, somebody gets hurt every year, though. Like, it really, it's more reflection of where your program is, if you notice or not. And you know what? Some injuries are bigger than others. Your quarterback gets hurt. Your starting quarterback, your projected starting quarterback, that's a big deal. Your best skill player on the outside, your veteran offensive line leader, your best pass rusher, your best cover corner, all that. Those guys get hurt, that's a big deal. But realistically, if South Carolina is good enough to go to a bowl, they should be able to replace Jaden Sellers. Now, one of the options might have been Jaden Gibson, who also got hurt. But they should be able to replace him physically. Now, again, emotionally, like, I do think that is something that Lenoris is going to have to work through a little bit. That's a little odd. Same thing with Clemson.
South Carolina's, though, no, I do agree on Sellers. He flashed last year. You see the potential in that kid. And I hate that he's not going to get to play with his brother. If their three starters stay healthy, I don't know how much you're going to feel that, though.
Yes. You can get around that physically. It's the same with Anderson to me. Polo Anderson was not going to start at safety. Now, he was going to play a lot. And this is going to be a big developmental year for him. And it is not even neutral that he's going to miss a year of development as a safety. Because if the safety position hits, you could have one or more of these guys head for the hills. Okay? You could have them going pro. So you're going to need some guys in this. And you know what? The other thing that this does is it unremoves the stench of last year's safety group. Like, every little bit of padding you got between yourself, the players playing, and the safeties that were there last year was good padding, in my opinion. You have Hanifin in there who's kind of being treated like the third safety. But then after that, you trust no one. And rightfully so. You trust nobody.
Yeah, Polo Anderson, just the reps that he could have gotten on the field this year maybe hurts you for next year.
That's right.
Because you got to think he's stepping into one of those roles next year.
It's similar.
It's not that he still can't, but mental reps are not the same as physical reps. I mean, they're just not.
It's not the same, but it feels similar to Zach Foster. Where, like, he's going to come back and be good enough, you feel like. He's mm-hmm. like the stuff people have said, whatever. But you just wish that you could have some confirmation first.
Right.
So I started thinking about this. How much injury luck has Clemson had? Or maybe bad injury luck has Clemson had in the last little bit? And as I started looking year over year, an interesting pattern emerged. And Ben, I have almost no idea what point to make on this. Other than just to lay the numbers out there and try to figure out what the heck is going on. We'll do that on the other side, because you could actually make an argument that Clemson's 6-year run at the top of college football was mostly a product of excellent injury luck and impeccable, almost impossible player development year over year. We'll talk about that in a moment. 654 Roar is the number. Get in on the Pratt Injury Lawyers phone lines, the Adams Corfing text line after this.
The countdown is on. It's on. 19 days until Clemson Tiger football. Presented by Ingles. Ingles. Low prices. Love the savings.
Ball rests just inside the left hash. Takes a snap, back to throw. Going to throw and is incomplete. And tip caught. Picked off Hanifin. Hanifin crosses the 35, gets across the 30, and is wrangled down at the 28.
105.5, 97.5, The Roar, where every day is game day.
Is your crawl space damp or musty? Water in your crawl space can cause wood to rot and create an environment for mold and mildew that can make its way inside your home. Canty Foundation Specialist specializes in crawl space repair. Call us today for your free inspection so you can have the peace of mind knowing your crawl space is dry and your home is protected. Call today, 864-641-0176, or visit cantycanfixit.com.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah, Joe?
Heard something really strange the other day.
What'd you hear?
Well, so I'm talking with this guy at the Vermeer plant in Piedmont. You know, TJ. I think he's an engineer, nice guy.
What'd he say?
Well, he said the people that work here, well, he says, mud runs in their blood.
Say what?
Yep, said it as a matter of fact, just like that.
What does that even mean?
Oh, beats me.
Learn more at Vermeer.com/dig.
Get ready to discover incredible savings with Fort Hill Natural Gas. Say goodbye to seasonal worries and embrace year-round savings by adding gas appliances with cash rebates to your home. But that's not all. Call the office now and find out how you may qualify for residential volume user rate, adding even more value to your energy savings. Ready to start saving big? Visit FHNGA.com and explore the rebate page for more details.
Have those annoying fruit flies in your kitchen that just won't seem to go away? You made sure you don't have any more fruit left out and they just keep showing up, even all around the house, in the kitchen and the bathrooms now too. The reality is they're probably not fruit flies. They're really drain and sewer flies. Our high-powered hydrojetting equipment at Ace is the ideal solution for both drain clearing and cleaning as well. The pressure from the water will clean away the junk that's built up in your drains that flies love to feed on. Get rid of those flies for good through drain treatment with Ace at acehomeco.com.
Another year of college football is here, and there's no better place to enjoy your favorite teams than Reuben's, with locations in Powdersville and Greenville. Both venues feature all the great college games every week with great food and drinks. Check them out online for the latest in live music, and be sure to get your to-go orders in early for game day and tailgating. Reuben's, on the Parkway in Greenville and Highway 81 in Powdersville. Reuben's, good times gather here.
Hey, it's Kwok from The Roar. Summer's winding down, school's back in session, and it's time to get your lawn ready for fall. The pros at Grass Nerds know exactly what your lawn needs. Aeration, overseeding, top dressing. You name it, they've got the game plan to take your grass from stressed to success. Visit grassnerds.com today to prep your lawn for fall. Local Clemson grads who are proud to serve the upstate. Have the best game day ready yard on the block. Get your instant quote and learn more today at grassnerds.com.
Whether it's the elegant lines of your interior trim or the curb appeal of your exterior, your home deserves a master's touch. Owned and operated by two Clemson engineers, Painter One of the Upstate specializes in precision property transformations. They believe in total transparency, providing you with daily updates to ensure their work meets your standard. If you're ready to fall in love with your home again, call 864-668-6899 or visit Painter One, the number one.com/upstate. Painter One. Renew your space. Renew your life.
Have you considered the legacy you'll leave behind for your family? The staff at Green Law Firm is here to help you create a legacy you'll be proud of. The best time to plan for the future is now. Whether it's a straightforward will, power of attorney, family trust, or another option, David Green is here to guide you in choosing the right path for you and your loved ones. Call today, 864-271-7940, or visit greenlaw.legal so he can start planning your family's legacy together.
If you're looking for a good old-fashioned radio rant, Kwok and Van have you covered.
Well, what is wrong with you? Can't even imagine being dumber. It's the worst, most absurd premise I've ever heard. Idiots!
Listen to Out of Bounds Monday through Friday, right here on The Roar.
All right, final hour of the show continues. 654 ROAR is the number, 654-7627.
Have we done 2.25 hours on Clemson football? How'd that happen?
We have. 2.25 hours.
2.25.
That's great.
One of the, we were talking about best things we saw this weekend in a very spiteful way. One of the best that I saw was Caitlin Clark laughing in the background after Angel Reese missed, stop me when you've heard this before, a bunny layup.
Then how did she miss it? That was the biggest William Quackenbush choke job I've ever seen.
Yeah.
How did she miss? She's wide open at the horn. Like, it's a wide open layup at the buzzer.
I didn't watch the game. It wasn't where I could, but I certainly saw that clip. That was funny.
My favorite thing on X.
I'm just trying to think of other things that have happened in the world of sports.
If you're trying to figure out, did Quag just bookmark a bunch of Jaden Daniels hate tweets over the weekend? I did. Would you like me to read some of my favorite ones while we're talking about dumb stuff that happened this weekend?
I missed the Jaden Daniels stuff. I texted you Thursday because I am a Jaden Daniels fan. I was in college. I am now, and he's played for two teams that I despise. But, like, it's a good example of where you think you know an athlete just by the way he carries himself and all. And you really don't. You don't really know that player because – if you said pick a quarterback in the NFL that did this to his college team, Jaden Daniels would have been maybe one of the last three or four guys I would have mentioned.
Yes. Now, what's funny is, did you see the statement that he released? It's basically the Jonah Hill meme where he's like rubbing his eyebrows. He's like, he basically goes, can we please just not? Like, I'm just trying to play and I've got people working on stuff, and we just need to resolve this.
You can't fan the flames of controversy and then get upset that you get backlash from it, though.
Yeah, like, tell mom that you're in charge. Like, don't, if it's your mom. Everybody's talking about Jaden Daniels' mom. By the way, did you see Ryan Clark came out and was scolding people for the smear campaign?
Oh, Ryan Clark has a controversial take backing something shocking.
The smear campaign, we're just reading what they wrote. We're just reading it and laughing. There's no smear campaign. No one's trying hard to smear Jaden Daniels. We're not digging up stuff on the internet. We're literally just reading reports. Who is smearing? The smear campaign on Jaden Daniels. I'm going to tell you what right now. I've always said I'll defend Ryan Clark more than most. I'm off. I'm out. Smear campaign? Shut your freaking mouth. In no way is this a smear campaign to read a thing somebody says and react to that. That is not a smear campaign, brother. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Give me one example how that would be a smear campaign.
Oh, it's just painting him. Oh, he's done so much for LSU on and off the field, all this stuff. Well, then, you know what? His PR people should have put out the story about how he saved a bunch of puppies in a cardboard box or donated $1 billion to some third world charity and not this story about how no one can use five at LSU anymore. If you want to combat a smear campaign, then he's got PR people who obviously are absolutely ruining this. Do something else. We're dying to hear something else. So those of us like me and you who really like Jaden Daniels are dying for some sort of counter-programming here. Instead, this is what we get, Ben. We get Columbia football. Have you seen this? I'm going to have to show you these. I don't know if you've seen all these tweets. I'm going to turn this around. I'm going to show this to you. Columbia football says, out of respect for Jaden Daniels, we've removed the 5-yard line from our field. That's the University of Columbia, their Ivy League. StubHub said, effective immediately, will no longer offer tickets in groups of five. It's for the Seahawks Commanders regular season game. We're only doing 4 or 6+. Thank you for your understanding.
Hey, LSU is one of the few colleges that marks off their field in fives.
Yes.
You know, with numbers, they ought to just move the 5 to the 4.
Just do the 4 and the 6. That'd be the pettiest 4, thing.
4, 6, 10, 15, 20. Yes.
Golly Moses. Did you see the Mets? The Mets beat the Nationals 4-1 on Friday and said stopped at 4 out of respect for Jaden Daniels.
That's phenomenal.
5-Hour Energy rebranded to 4-Hour Energy as a tribute to Jaden Daniels. Minor League Baseball. The official Minor League Baseball Twitter account was talking about a suspended game between Syracuse and Jacksonville and said yesterday's game will resume 5:05 p.m. tonight in the fifth inning. Hope that's okay with Jaden Daniels. It goes on and on. Cleveland Guardians won by 5 because we're not scared of Jaden Daniels. They beat the Padres 6-1.
Okay, I will say this. While these are funny, when you have other professional organizations doing this, it does support Ryan Clark a little bit.
I mean, this is bad. The Philadelphia Phillies making 5 runs for the Phils in the fifth. Parentheses, don't sue us. The scoreboard at Target Field said that Ryan Kreidler is, quote, currently number 5 unless he received a cease and desist letter. That was their bio for Kreidler. The Los Angeles Angels had Kiss throw out the first pitch, and apparently Gene Simmons threw out 4 first pitches just to see if he could, like, hit one. I don't know exactly why he threw 4 first pitches. And somebody quote tweeted it and said, in fact, the Angels did, he has to throw a 5th pitch, but we had to say no out of respect for Jaden Daniels. And then my favorite, Keanu will like this one. Dude Wipes tweeted.
What? Oh, no.
Dude Wipes tweeted, taking 4 dumps to stay instead of 5 out of respect for Jaden Daniels.
Okay.
That was my favorite thing to do all weekend. My algorithm's so screwed up because I kept finding those.
You know how the SEC has discouraged everybody from doing, you know, horns down? Do you see other NFL teams trolling him with high fours?
High fours!
And then we're going to have a memorandum about that.
High fours! Oh, man. Texas, I missed this one. I thought I saw them all. 5 Guys changed his name on Twitter to 4 Guys. Oh, my Lord. Okay.
Tammy from Seneca said he sued Fauci for pleading the 5th.
Oh, Lord. Oh, that's so good. That's so good. Thank you, Jaden Daniels. I'm going to give you this stat, Ben, okay? We're talking about injuries. This is a real pivot here to some dire stuff. I was thinking about the injuries that Clemson's had in recent years. And again, a lot of fans are, you know, the backup safety gets hurt and they're freaking out. And I'm like, I mean, it could be a lot worse, folks. So I started to go back, and I really was looking at the last 5 years. At the number of major injuries that Clemson has had. And that led me to just looking at starting lineups through the season, game 1 to the end. And I went all the way back to 2015. I have 5 Belows and now 499 Belows. I can't look at the text line. I'm going to give you the offensive and defensive starters that were the same on game 1 and the final game of the season from 2015 to 2019. This is the number of starters on each side of the ball that was the same. 2015, 9 on offense, 9 on defense. You had 2 changes on both sides of the ball.
Now, pretty good.
Yes. Now, were there some along the way? Sure, but I'm talking beginning and end. 2016, 9 offense, 10 defense. 2017, 9 offense, 9 defense. 2018, 9 offense, 10 defense. And the one difference was Dexter Lawrence in 2018. All the other 10 starters were exactly the same. Remember, Dexter Lawrence got suspended for those playoffs. 2019, 10 offense, 9 defense. So in all five of those years, a maximum of two starters, no more than two starters, were different from game one to the end of the season. I should say in game one and in the end. Again, like somebody could miss a game every now and then, but when you start the season and finish the season, they're your starters. That is remarkable consistency because it means two things. One, you're avoiding serious injury that costs you significant games. Two, you're not misevaluating any of your starters. So the majority of these are like Sean Pollard started some and also Tremaine Ankrum. And then by the end, it was like one would start and then the other one. That's the majority of these. Now, you had the Mike Williams injury in 2015, but only one other starter switched. You had a Trey Lamar injury in 2017, only one other starter switched. You had Niles Pinney in 2019. I put nine on there. They used like five different alignments in 2019. That was kind of a mess, but you can draw through lines. Basically, nine guys were available as starters in that game in 2019 against LSU. Then things started to go a little haywire, Ben. Are you with me so far?
I'm with you so far.
This is remarkable consistency, okay? In 2020, this is where things got a little rickety. 10 offensive starters between the first game against Wake, last game against LSU, 10 starters were the same. Only four on defense.
Ooh.
Some of that was injury. Some of it COVID. Like you had some COVID. So like 20 was weird, we know. If you just took 2020 in a vacuum, you might go, well, okay, we'll just chalk it up to COVID. 2021, five on offense, nine on defense. The starting receivers the first game of 2021 were Justin Ross, Frank Ladson, and Joseph Ngata. And none of those started the final game in 2021 against Iowa State.
Yeah, that was like the... all the Daniel kids is what textures like to call.
Oh yeah, every Sweeney and yeah. Also one of the Collinses. Like it was a Collins and the Sweeneys. That was it. Matt Bockhorst got hurt that year. Brian Brzee got hurt that year. That was a lot going on there. 2022, eight offense, seven defense. So a little more stable. You had a Marcus Tate injury in there. Nothing else long term from an injury standpoint. But you had some, you know, you had basically three to four starters on both sides of the ball that had to be replaced, not for injury reasons. 2023, this is a bad year. Five offense, six defense. Only 11 of the 22 starters that began the season, what was the 23 opener? At Duke. Also competed in the last game against Tennessee.
How many?
11 of the 22. Five on offense, six on defense.
I'm sorry. This text line is still all over the number five.
Oh, I know. That includes Cole Turner, Marcus Tate again, Walker Parks, Antonio Williams. All were injured for that last game or missed that game. And then you had a couple opt-outs in that game too. 2024, nine offense, eight defense. Little more stable. Still not up to par with 15-19. But I do want you to note that the most stable in terms of you didn't have one side of the ball where you just had a bunch of changes. The 2 years where that was true, they won the ACC and played in a playoff game. In 22, there were eight offense, seven defense. In 24, nine offense, eight defense. That's more similar to the 15-19.
Mm-hmm.
In 2025, seven offense and nine defense. Now, three of the ones on offense were Wesco, Williams, and Sadler, who didn't play the last game, were hurt. Or at least Wesco and Sadler were, and I think Williams technically was too. So a little more stable last year. You went from basically 3.5 different starters every year on average from game one to the end. Sometimes you're playing 15 games. To now an average of 7.5 starters in the last 6 years different, which means injuries and misevaluation. Clemson has dealt with both of those significantly more than they did when they were going to the playoff every year. And so you can blame injuries, yes, but it's also misevaluation. And I think misevaluation and injury are related because sometimes when you misevaluate, it means that you don't have guys behind the guy that was out that can step in and do the job. That's the misevaluation part of this. Am I making sense?
You are confirming my suspicions.
Okay. So, Polo Anderson, guys like that are going to get hurt. But can you minimize the rest of the damage? That's the question. Stay with us. Final segment of the program is up next.
The Roar's 2026 College Football Kickoff Show will be live from Southern Weaving Food Hall in Easley, August 27th from 5 to 8 p.m. Come out and meet all your favorite hosts and producers.
Normally I talk about when I'm going to watch baseball, and my answer to you is I'm going to watch good baseball later, and the Reds are on right now. That's not good baseball.
Why do you do that to yourself?
God, I have to, I don't know. It's like going to the dentist for a root canal.
Well, that's a necessary evil.
Every day.
That's just an evil.
Every day. I got to feel pain. I'm like Nancy Mace at a tattoo parlor. I got to feel pain.
Oh, boy.
Got to feel pain. Did you watch any Braves this week? God, I can't believe I said that. Did you watch any Braves this weekend?
I did. Yeah, I did. I watched them not be able to scratch out a run on Friday and then get absolutely shelled on Saturday, and saw Matt Olson put on the Superman cape yesterday.
They were dreadful. That was an awful watch on Friday. Like, the at-bats were non-competitive. I love that in the old days, you could have had the headline in the AJC, like, Big Fott Zero for Brandon Fott, pitching a shutout against the Braves. Big Fott Zero. They were not competitive at all. Saturday, they were a little more competitive, and the bullpen, well, Holmes served it up, and then they kind of just treaded water for a while. Bullpen didn't help. Yesterday was the Olson home run that really salvaged the series. The Diamondbacks are weird. They're going to make the playoffs basically because they play well. They play to their level of their competition. The last three series that they've had been, they beat the Dodgers, they beat the Braves, and they lost 2 out of 3 to the Rockies. That's their last three series. So some of this is the Braves just sort of being victimized by a team that does ride the wave. And the three starting pitchers that the Braves face are quite good. They are very good.
Braves start a three-game series tonight in Minnesota. 7:40 first pitch, and you can listen to it right here.
I think tonight is going to be I think they're going to smash the Twins tonight. The Twins are a little up and down as well. I don't like Bailey Ober at all. The Braves have a couple guys that have faced him and haven't hit him. Matt Olson has a home run and 5 RBIs and 2 at-bats against him. So that's good. I think that's probably from Oakland because Ober's been in Minnesota for a while. Martin Perez on the bump for the Braves. I maintain that Perez has been awesome because he went to the bullpen when they needed him to, and he's come back up to start when they needed him to. And I think he's among the more valuable of all these contending teams, among the more valuable pitchers out there. I still think the Braves are in a good spot. I know people are gonna think things about the lack of offensive output over the weekend. One of the weaknesses in this roster right now, as I see it, is Ha-Seong Kim remains on this roster, and you have to think that every day Walt Weiss leaves a nasty email on Alex Anthopoulos's or a nasty email in his inbox or leaves a voicemail on his cell phone, and he's basically like, why are you making me stare at his name? Why are you making me write his name in? Do something about this right now. You got rid of Mateo, who was a perfectly reasonable bench piece in the major leagues. You got rid of Eli White, who's a perfectly good fourth outfielder. And I have to keep playing Ha-Seong Kim because he's there. I got to use him. He's just a totally unusable player, Ben. And I don't understand that. But it's honestly killing the Braves because if two or three guys have an off night, Ha-Seong Kim is also there to not get a hit and also not make every play at shortstop. I don't understand it. I don't get it. Other pitching matchups. Tyler Mahle, former Twin, tomorrow night against Zebby Matthews, one of my favorite names, and Chris Sale, Taj Bradley on Wednesday afternoon. That'll be fun. I like Taj Bradley a lot. Then we talked about Cade Klubnik. Anything from preseason NFL this weekend catch your attention?
I thought the rookies that were supposed to look, I mean, nobody that I can that really jumps to mind just laid an egg. Mendoza looked okay. Klubnik looked okay.
And we talked about Klubnik in the beginning. You know, my favorite thing is Fernando Mendoza has 97 passing yards, and E.J. Williams was the leading receiver. Former Clemson Tiger, E.J. Williams, and national champion.
Did not even realize that.
41 yards and a touchdown. No, not a touchdown. Just 41 yards on his one catch from Mendoza in that Raiders debut. I have a really hard time with NFL preseason because, like I said, you the bad is bad, but you can't trust any of the good. It's like I have no idea what to feel good about. I'm watching my team play on Thursday night against the Patriots, and it's a 13-13 tie, and the Colts seem to be leaning toward keeping Anthony Richardson as a backup quarterback instead of Riley Leonard, who's not a pain in my rear end. I don't get that. No idea. I am trying to pick up the... And we'll maybe talk about this a little bit more tomorrow. Some of the returns from scrimmages around the country. You know, one thing that I'm really fascinated by with Clemson and LSU as we come up to the game, as we're sort of approaching the game.
Oh, let me give you one more.
Okay.
Adam Randall.
Yes,
Adam Randall.
You reminded me. Thank you. Yes.
He ran hard. 12 carries, 46 yards, and a touchdown.
I am rooting for that guy so hard. I might root for him more than any other guy that was drafted out of Clemson this year.
What a great story.
Yes. Thank you for reminding me of that. Because that's great. But you know what? I don't know what it means.
It means it was preseason, and you're playing against other guys that are also fighting to stay on the roster. I put very little into preseason. You also see guys in preseason games all the time, you know, a scoop and a score or, you know, a pick six, and then they get cut. I mean, you know.
Right.
But all you can do is look good in your debut, and these guys did.
The bad is bad, and the good might be bad. We just don't know. That's the preseason football stuff. You know, in a similar vein, I had a little bit of a like, how should I feel about this? Drew Woodass gets plaudits after the Clemson scrimmage for a pick six, and you don't know, like, quarterback make a bad read, was it receiver run the wrong route, whatever. Woodass makes the pick six, and I'm thinking, did I want Ashton Hampton to do that? Do I feel better about Drew Woodass now? Do I feel worse about a quarterback now? What am I supposed to think? And I realize I just don't. I'm going to sit there for an hour trying to figure out the pros and cons, the good and bads there. Quest from Clemson says, Dabo did try to tell us about Adam Randall. He tried to tell us about the story. He set us up for it. You know why we didn't believe Dabo on that? Because Dabo has told us that story about seven guys every year. It's his favorite story to tell. Kyle Parker is going to be NFL quarterback. He said it. He said it so many times. This guy's going to play for a long time. He's going to play for a long time.
My best was, Hunter Renfrow is going to bench 225 10 times. Remember that one?
Yes. Like what?
Or might even been more than that.
Like, what is that? What are you talking about? Dabo said more words. I don't know if you caught this. It was toward the end of his press conference. Dabo said more words about the last two games he coached at LSU when he was at Alabama. I think he said more words about those two games than he did the entire scrimmage. Somebody asked him about LSU, playing at LSU or whatever, and I think it was Will Vandervoort that asked him that question, and he went off. It was his favorite thing to talk about. If you missed that, go back. The press conference is available on YouTube. Go back and watch that. That'll bring you joy. All right, on tomorrow's show,